The following is a talk given by His Holiness Jayaprakasa Swami on April 3, 1993 in Auckland, New Zealand. The talk was given during the Namahaka Seminar.
Today, having a class on a seminar type of class on congregational preaching, congregational development. I saw that Sridhar Swami Maharaj was here. So did he do a presentation on the fundraising aspects? How many people saw that? The congregational development is the broad topic, which is discussing things like how to increase the congregation, how to cultivate the congregation, engage them, how to organize the Namhat programs. And fundraising is one of the natural services, or swadharmas, you can say, that members of the congregation should be engaged in. And fundraising in itself is a specialized area. Not all donors become active congregational members, and not all active congregational members are able to be major donors. But the two go side by side. There was explained how you can see a congregational preacher. There's an overlap of fundraising. Because some people, they may give donations, but they don't actually participate in the spiritual program. And some people, if they actually participate, maybe the students, something, they're not able to give money. So there's a kind of an overlap. But that's one view of it. There's different views you could take. Or you can also take it like a broader view. The whole development of the congregation is including, in the broader sense, part of it is to get them to get funds, part is to spiritually develop them. Part of them is to get them also to join the temple. So there's a whole broader sense of congregation preaching. So we're discussing the broader point tonight. So, one thing is just to give some background. The Srila Prabhupada explained how Lord Caitanya didn't build any temples. He didn't write any books. He just spread the Harinam Sankirtan. And by spreading the Harinam Sankirtan, then he instructed some of his disciples and followers to write books, like the Six Goswamis. He instructed and some of them also built temples. He instructed Nityananda to go back to Bengal. And initially Nityananda started a preaching program which was called Nama Hatta. Nama means the holy name and Hatta means the marketplace, or the marketing of the holy name. Where everybody in their villages, they would get together every day, perform Harinam, have Bhagavatam classes, worship Krishna in their home. And eventually some of those, in India it's like a different situation where you have a community temple and everybody in the community goes there, just like here in the farm, they're building a temple, everyone in the community goes. So it's like you're making a little village here. So in India there's so many villages, and then in every village so many temples came up. And there are very few, one or two of the villagers was also a priest in the temple, and they would worship like that. to the kind of situation we have, where we have ashrams in the, all over the world, where sannyasis and brahmacharis and grihasthas are living and engaging in devotional service. This was a more recent development, which Srila Prabhupada instituted, or was previously instituted partially by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And temples with this type of preaching temples, of course, were always there, but they became the main fortress for preaching Krishna consciousness in the past 100 years. Otherwise, before that, it was very broad. Well, let's see. Rupa Goswami, they all had temples. And in a temple where there was a major devotee, a senior devotee staying, then that temple became a sripad. It became a place where knowledge was disseminated. So what really makes a temple effective for preaching is preaching devotees. Just a building doesn't make a temple effective for preaching. But what makes it effective is that you have preaching devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had restarted the Namhat in the 1800s. From the one that, and then Nityananda Prabhu had originally started. So, we didn't know much about this Namhat movement until we got a book that Srila Prabhupada had published when he was in Gaudiya Math. He was the editor and president of a magazine called Gaudiya Patrika. And in that magazine, he said, this is a very interesting article. This shows how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was doing the preaching of Namahatta. And when we got that edition, he gave us the blueprint on what Namahatta was. I'd asked Srila Prabhupada in 1977 for some guidance about the potential of preaching to all the congregational, all the people in India who were already chanting Hare Krishna. And he gave me, he said that we could make a department for that, like an organization within ISKCON for preaching. And he gave some guidelines about that. And I didn't really know what to do or what to call it. And I had an idea called ISKCON Sankirtan Organization, he showed it. But then we got this book on, you know, Thakur's idea, and it was very clear. He explained, in the sense, we have the Holy Dham, which are like, you know, big commercial centers. It's like Oakland is a big commercial center for all North Island, I imagine, or this part of the Northern Island. Everybody can come here and do their shopping. So Holy Dhams are like that. You can go and get so much association. You can, there's big programs and parikramas, and so many different things are there. So many festivals in a very big sense. So that was Holy Dhams, especially like Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Puri. They are in a very special category. Then you have your temple, preaching temples which are situated. These are like Holy Dhams, the city commercial center. You have preaching temples. These are like supermarkets. You go to the temple, there's a beautiful deities, there's some devotees, regular programs, there's classes, sometimes there's gurukul. So it's like you go to the supermarket, you get more or less everything you need in groceries in a supermarket. But then, there's so many, there's another level of marketing, which is your, it's called Namahatta, we call it, you know, congregational groups, or gatherings, so many different names are there. And these are more like your small corner grocery store, your, what they call utility store. You can get your emergency needs there, get some flour, you can get some water, whatever, you know, emergency things you can get. You may not get everything you get in the supermarket, but you know, you get the basic things you need. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained it in this way, that, you know, and basically this was a following his concept that the non-mata, they can reach everywhere. Holy dhams are only in the holy dhams are the holy dhams. The temples, there are certain limitations on how many temples you can build. So his idea was that there should be Ramahatas everywhere. And he personally established about 500 active Ramahatas. He used to call them Prapan ashrams, or ashrams for surrender. Within a Ramahat, of course, there is also, he had established a program which is called Sraddha Kuti. This is all Sanskrit. Sraddha Kuti, Sraddha means faith, and Kuti means home, a home of faith. That's for families, for the whole family unit. Is practicing Krishna consciousness. So this is your, this is another basic unit to get families. Many times you find there's one family that's Krishna conscious in the place, and they're just, that's the only family. They're really fired up. They're doing the Mangal Arati, doing everything, but they don't have anybody else to really make an Amhata. So that's what the Kuti is like, your basic. You have a family, maybe very strong. So this is the basic concept. Prabhupada, when I asked him what to do, he told me that you bring the congregational members to your temple for 3 days, a week, let them see what we're doing, train them up, and then send them out and have them do it in their own village. That was the Indian program. So we started that. Now we have in India about 2,000 Namhartas. Each Namharta has anywhere between 20 to 100 members. So 2,000 is over 100,000 people are in connection with this. We have annual celebration, annual seminar every year, sometime after Gaur Purnima. This year, 1,500 delegates came. It was as big as the Gaur Purnima festival, 3 days after Gaur Purnima. They came with their banners and everything, and they all spoke on the problems they're facing in preaching and the different programs they're doing and sharing ideas. As you know, this year, Mayapur had the good fortune of winning the Christmas marathon by Krishna's mercy. And the Namhata devotees, we distributed 38,000 Bhagavad Gitas, I believe, 35 or 38, I can't remember exactly. Namhata devotees, the Namhata congregational members, the 22,000 Bhagavad Gitas, and they did the also something like 20,000 BTG subscriptions. So this was the first year that we utilized the Namhata for book distribution. Now everybody in India, we had a continental meeting, they all want to utilize their congregation for book distribution. So that's a little background from India. Of course then, the GBC body has been understanding this is one of the major areas that we need to proceed in. They made it one of the mission statement areas, and the monitor for the mission statement, that's for them, just supposed to help people, whatever help they want to try to help them. Our mission statement at the President ISKCON for congregational programs is that on the order of Lord Chaitanya, to see that all people living at home also embrace faithfully the practices of worshipping Lord Krishna, chanting Lord Krishna's holy names, and studying Lord Krishna's teachings, and to also involve them in marketing the Sankirtan movement for the upliftment of the fallen souls in accordance with Lord Nityananda's divine example. So we want everyone to worship Lord Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and study Krishna's teachings. This is what Lord Chaitanya ordered everyone to do. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Sikha. In the Namhata Bhajan, I was looking, but it's not in the songbook. This is the point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur stressed. Everybody can chant, everybody can worship, everybody can read. And the next thing is to help, they should also help in preaching. They can also preach. Maybe they're busy maintaining their families, but they also can give some time for preaching. So we made some supporting objectives for this congregation, for this mission statement. This is our present, this is the ISKCON mission. This is one of our 20 mission statements that we want to do. Now, to achieve that, there's some supporting objectives. These are like steps that we had to achieve in order to achieve this thing, to get everybody to be involved like this. There's some supporting objectives. One of them is to involve all the congregational members in utilizing their natural propensities in devotional activities with ISKCON Temple and Namhat groups. Like in many temples, they found that congregational members, some are lawyers, some are doctors, some are accountants, some are, have so many practical abilities. So they can offer those abilities to ISKCON and help by giving that service. Another objective is to provide for the congregation in ISKCON gradual steps of easily attainable progressive spiritual levels to enthuse them to increase their devotional practices. There's a system for doing that. That was accepted by the GBC. Some of the modalities how to implement it are still in discussion, though. The chairman has asked everybody to hold off. But it's already been resolved by the GBC. We should have a gradual program for elevating them. So here's a pyramid of a gradual program. Actually, we've added another, and it says here, and folk or Namhat member. What we've done is where it says folk or Namhat member, we put subscribers and members. In other words, also regular. Actually, there's three, four room lines there. Actually, there's a problem here. The GBC, where it says folk or Namhat member, one round and regular attendance, there's a program there called Sraddhavan or Satsangi, and that's been approved by the GBC, that people who chant one round and regularly come to the temple or to a Namhat group, they can be recognized as Satsanga or Satsangi members of the congregation. The next above that is Krishna Seva. Basically, like four rounds, vegetarian coming and doing service. Then there's sadhak, which is eight rounds, doing worship in their home, regular practice, following basic principles. Then finally take shelter, Prabhupada, same standard as a bhakta. We want to promote this, rather than prematurely promoting people for initiation, we want to try to get them rather take shelter, Prabhupada. Once they're fixed up and following everything in the Prabhupada, then when they become a little mature about who the gurus are and what diksha is and everything, then they can take shelter of a guru and finally take initiation. This program of gradually recognizing congregational members is going to be implemented now in ISKCON. So we found that UFO means unidentified friends of our organization. You probably thought it was aliens or something. I thought I'd keep you in suspense there. We found that actually, just like in the donor pyramid, those that remember the donor pyramid, the first donation is like, that's the next thing after your universe. So this is like a universe of friends, our unknown friends. Potential friends. But the next thing is the first positive response. For our preaching, it's not even a donation. A donation is a positive response. But even if somebody answers a letter in your book, sometimes you have those reply cards, or somebody comes to the temple and leaves a message, you know, their address. Any kind of first positive response you get from someone, that means they're starting to show interest in associating with ISKCON. That's like the next level. And it's very important to immediately start following up on those positive responses. And to either get them to become a member of your congregation or a subscriber, donor of the congregation, or somehow get them formally connected, even before there's any rules or regulation, just somehow get them to feel part. Then after that, get them to chant around and understand some of the philosophy. Once you get them on the spiritual pyramid, then once you see they spent one round, and it's very easy to go to four rounds, easy to go to eight, they, pretty soon, we'll see within a couple of years, they'll be real fixed up devotees. But you have to take it very gradually. If you try to push them too quick, then they sometimes become discouraged, or they become, until in Iskan language you say fried out, but you know, they become overwhelmed. Yeah, it's like over pressure. They feel stressed, they feel pressure. On the other hand, if you don't encourage them, then sometimes they don't take that next step. So both things are needed. So that's where cultivation and actually senior preachers taking a and having an involvement with the congregational members is very important. So we had some very nice seminars this year. Sachinandan Maharaj is a very active congregational preacher in Northern Europe. Pipamoy Prabhu from the UK, and other preachers in South Africa, and all over the world, they came and they gave their practical ideas. So Sachinandan Maharaj, he said that the first thing you need, he summed it up like this. First of all, you have to get contacts. Like, someone write that down? First you need contacts. So how do you get contacts? He found out that there's different kinds of contacts. Do you know what the best contact is? What?
Preferred lead.
A
referred lead. And there is somebody who's referred by somebody who's already made it. A friend of a devotee, let's say somebody's devotee, but they know somebody who's referred.
All right, if you know somebody is favorable, but that's okay. That's very rare, actually. Nobody even mentioned that before, that someone would refer, but we always live and learn, you know. It's a good idea. Referral. Like a note. Yeah, well, because we're trying to cultivate people, so if you find someone, that's a good point, referrals. Well, he found that you have basic ways to get contacts. You get letters to the temple. You get guests to come to the Sunday feast. You get people who come to your big programs and public festivals and fill out response cards. And then you have people that do some kirtan contacts. Like Sankirtan devotees get names from people they meet. So of those four, which one do you think would be the best that his experience of? Okay, that's one choice.
Sunday feast.
Sunday feast.
Letters.
Letters. Anybody else? You got one left. So his experience was that letters to the temple were the best, and guests to the Sunday feast who showed some interest in the philosophy or interest in the program, they're the next best. His analysis was because they came on their own initiative. Like somebody writes a letter, he has to sit down and he has to put that effort in to actually write a letter. Or someone comes to your program. Anything that where they have to use more of their own initiative is a symptom that they're more ready to be cultivated. To those people who just come to our big programs, fill out a response card, it's like a little spark is there. But then you have to follow it up quickly afterwards and fan that spark and see if they give a further response. You know, what happens, he found, is that these two things, the big programs and Sankirtan context, and I think in Germany they don't have restaurants, otherwise it'd be interesting, because here restaurant customers hasn't really figured in his particular presentation. It'd be interesting to know how restaurants work in this regard. This is a very new pioneering field, so we're just gathering information from everyone in case if anybody here has some new ideas, don't hesitate to speak out. The open forum at the end, I'll ask for your input at the end of different segments. So he found that these programs and festivals, Sankirtan context, that the impact is like short-lived. You meet a Sankirtan devotee, makes a good impression. The Sankirtan devotee talks, he thinks the person's very favorable. How long will that person remember the Sankirtan devotee? You know, they say maximum like 15 days will be a very strong, you know, recollection. In most cases, I mean, maybe they're a rare person, you know, he never forget you, but that's like maybe he's meant to be a devotee anyway. So, but generally, there's so many things happening, so many, that if in the first, within the first week or 2 weeks, if there's immediate follow-up, or the Sankirtan devotee writes a personal letter, or there's a form letter, and he just signs it, you know, depending on how well organized it is. They thought it's better if the Sankirtan devotee somehow is connected with it, because if a person gets a letter, hey, you met so-and-so, and I'm writing you, and I think, you know, well, I know that person. Like, he has a personal relationship with the Sankirtan devotee. So even if it's done by a computer, and the Sankirtan devotee just puts in a little personalization, the whole thing's printed out, and some mass mailer program, or whether the Sankirtan devotee has the time to personally write a letter. If it comes, hey, remember we met outside of the, you know, the Macy's or outside of the Kmart or in the whatever, and we had a nice discussion. I'd like to just take this up, you know. But then the rest of the form letter may come in, you know, to invite him to the temple or her to the temple or to follow it up. Or what did you think of the book you read? And just take, and then if you get a response from that, that means you got a hot lead. That person can be cultivated and further developed. Don't get a response, well, may try one more time, and after that, what can you do? But otherwise they found that what's very important is you get all these names. You have to sift the names. So next thing is sifting. Sifting the names. You can, like when you're sifting, you know, like gold sifting, you know, to get out the essence, because sometimes you get so many names and it's hard to pick out. Sometimes Sankirtan devotees think a person is really great, really fired up, but actually when you follow it up, they're not that interested. They were interested because they were meeting a Sankirtan devotee, they got inspired. It's like a special thing. If immediately it had been followed up, then maybe that person would have become a very good lead. But it wasn't followed up. So, he says it's very important to get responses from people, get a sign of interest, a sign of their life that they're actually interested. And if they show that somehow they're giving a response, that means sometimes you send, they get all these names, you send out reply cards. What did you think about the program that you went to? Or was it good, interesting, disappointing? Somehow just try, even if they say they don't like it, if they just show some response, it shows that they're a little bit, you know, there's some life there, they're interested. Like Jesus Christ said, if you're hot or cold, like you take hot water or cold water, drink it, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. Like if they're just disinterested, then there's not much you can do at this point. We have to conserve our energy. Temples don't have huge budgets to spend on massive, you know, databases of names which aren't going to produce results. So he says it's important to sift. And the means of sifting is to evoke responses from them. Maybe sending 3 months magazines. So after evoking a response, then comes cultivation. Next stage is cultivation. So our cultivation is get them to chant Hare Krishna. Not japa at first, but at least at programs. Somehow get them to come to some program, maybe in somebody's house. Get them to read Prabhupada's books. Get them to have association with devotees, either personal association or even letters, phone calls. You need to keep a contact. The more contact they get, sadhu sangha, that will take them up to the next level. Then you get them to... In other words, what basically we're saying, you know, in the nectar of devotion, there's five things which are most important. What is that? Chanting, Srimad Bhagavatam, association with devotees, worshipping deities, and the holy Dham. So these five things are the most important for congregational preaching. Chanting Hare Krishna, reading the Prabhupada's books, associating with devotees, somehow, some kind of association, worship, getting them to do home worship, Tulsi worship. Prabhupada said we can give out tulsi seeds. They can plant their own seed and they can grow it. There's no karma or offense for that. If you give out plants, then there could be offense if the first investment isn't proper. So seeds are safer. Unless you know the person's very paka, then you give them a plant. It's all right. Then dham. Dham, so these temples, they're like the dham, coming to the temple, getting this type of association with so many devotees, the big established deities. So these are like in New Zealand, these temples are the little replicas of the holy dham that people can go to. So the five principles of nectar devotion, we follow those. Then after you cultivate them and build up their attachment to Krishna, then what's the next thing you want to do? When somebody's attached to Krishna consciousness, then what do you want to do? Yes? Well, a little before that.
Engage him in service.
Right. That's the next. Took the words out of my mouth. Engage him in service. You want to engage them. But if you don't have engagement, you know how it is? If you don't have engagement, what happens? Your mind gets splayed out. You don't know what to do. You get into, you know... Well, for them, it's essential. They need to get engaged in some kind of service. Having a newsletter is very essential. This is like an umbilical cord for them, getting magazine, getting newsletter. That's also engagement when they read your newsletter. Having a membership program, that's also an engagement for their maybe a friendship circle or some kind of membership. Getting prasadam. And they found that in Tirupati temple, they send their donors prasadam every quarter, every 3 months. You can engage the congregation when it's Sunday feast. They can come and help in the cooking. They can't cook in the temple, in the room, but they can cut sabjis and they can do other things outside. They can have musical cassettes, lecture cassettes, where they hear devotees giving lectures. Somehow you have to engage them. There's also, we had our program in Melbourne. What are the kind of engagements that congregational people could do? And it was all congregational devotees, and they themselves said the different things they could do. Of course, they were having regular home programs where they get together and chant and read. Then food for life. Then children's programs, local festivals. In South Africa, they have, around Durban, they have 30 Janmashtami festivals. Our temple has 30 festivals. Because they have 20 Namhats around the Durban temple. And each Namhat organizes, and some too organize too, festivals in their local village or area. That means they rent a hall or they get a park or something, and the devotees have a tent. They go there, set it up, and they put on a Janmashtami festival. But all the prasadam, cooking, local advertisement, all local organization is done by the local congregational group, the Namhat type group. So this way, for 1 month ahead, and they have one Janmashtami, you know, formal Abhishek and that. But they have like, you know how, this is a very common thing in India where they have like a kind of a formal program in commemoration of something. You get together like we're doing for the centennial. People talk about Krishna's birth time and they have some culture program. Maybe the children do a Bharatanatyam or fancy dress. So they just a whole evening program, like a little festival in commemoration of Janmashtami, which is coming in the next so many days. So for 1 month ahead, every day they're having Janmashtami evening festival programs in different places. And then they all get together, massive Janmashtami program on the actual day where they're in the temple. So organizing local festivals is a thing that they can do. Special study programs, Harinam. These are more when you have an actual group. A lot of these things. What groups can do, a lot more than individuals. In UK, in London, in South London, they do outreach programs. There's a Namhat group that is mainly professional people, doctors, lawyers. You've been in London, you know that Romford, Right? They have a $2 a week. They give free time in the city hall to give medical, interview. What do you call it? Medical
consultation
for the public. So that's very well appreciated by the city hall, by the people. They're giving free medical treatment in this way. And plus, they also do Harinam on Wednesdays. They go out, all they can see, a local doctor, lawyer, everyone doing Harinam on the street. It's a big impact. So, and those are, their Nam Heart is about 80% British and 20%, ethnic British and 20% maybe like Indian background. And they also participate in their township's annual parade and things like that. They go on the parade. There's a lot of programs going on around the world. It's very, very inspiring when you hear about it. Of course, book distribution is another activity. Vegetarian cooking classes, some of the better cooks, they can give classes in the community. Some of them are sponsoring radio programs and places, and of course, they can raise funds for the temple, like you're doing a temple construction project. So the congregation can be very active in raising funds for that. So these are some of the type of activities you can do to engage them in devotional service. After you engage them, then you individual engagement and group engagement. So the next thing, of course, is to actually create this type of Namhat programs where you actually have groups where it's a little bit too far from the temple to regularly attend, then it's better to have them get together there one day a week at least. So this shows that in the temple you have you have your temple. You have the people who are living close enough to the temple that they can be regular visitors, attend Mangala Arati or come very regularly to all the programs. There's some people, they're a little further away, they can't come really to Mangala Arati usually, but they're close enough, they come for your Sunday program. But though still, there it's possible to have a separate kind of Namhat program, where they get together and have home program. Then you have a wider, maybe your province, your state, your wider region. These are people that live too far away to come regularly to the temple. So it's essential, the only link they can have is when you organize such programs. Then they can come. There's one lady, she was a very active green, ecological, we have Green Party here also. In New Zealand, Europe is very active. She was complaining. She went and called up the devotee in charge of the congregational preaching and the whole public relations and the communications in England, and was saying that if I want to go to TM, then I can go down the block. Every city's got a TM meditation center. If I want, Scientology, they got one everywhere. If I want to go, to some yoga thing, well, maybe in the next city within 30 kilometers I can find, some place to do yoga meditation. But if I want to go to a Hare Krishna center, I have to go all the way to your temple, which is 200 kilometers, 150, 100 kilometers away. Why don't you make yourself more accessible to people? Are you trying to keep it, a secret for yourself? Or we want, I know it's a great thing, I want to participate. Well, you make it so difficult. So basically, this is a practical thing that people want Krishna consciousness, but we have to be able to give it to them. And where they are, they're not all going to just come to the temple. They're not able to, they're too far away. Forming a group, it's not, that's also a systematic program, how to form a group. This idea we got from Prabhupada, he told Lokanath Maharaj to make a group in his village. And then he told Lokanath, well, how can I do it? Then he said, don't you have some responsible person in your village? So someone who's very responsible, that's, you know, favorable, and he said, yes, I have one uncle, he's chanting. He said, okay, you make him the head, and then you get him to organize, and you work through him. So there's a lot of intricacies. When we get, if I actually have, you know, talking with congregational preachers, then, you know, there's always some problems come up, and I can deal with that, but just to give you, like, an overview. The basic thing is to start a group, you need at least one, or a family, or so you need some key people, at least one key person, who you can rely on. In a group, if you have one person that you're giving a house, is reliable, people can know they can go there, that's enough. And if you have more, nothing better. And you have some dedicated people, people that also really chanting and Krishna conscious. They're like that nucleus, the key person and the dedicated people there, they are nucleus. Then you have people active who actively come. They may be not, you know, they may go here and there, but they still actively, they regularly come. Then even a group has your occasional people who come off and on, but they're not so committed yet. Then you have just, they have people, they have friends, like when they have their, you find even in a Namhat group, when they have their Janmastic program, a lot of friends will come, they get huge. You know, but not, they won't regularly, maybe not, they won't come otherwise, but they'll come for some big program. Or, so it's a circle, they have a whole circle of influence, and they can develop within that. If you see, like, if we went back to the previous, if you remember the previous, how you have the temple, and then you have Dukam. So the Dukam man made a plan, and then he came, he went to his house, and he took some fresh lime. Not lime, lemon. Lime like you put on the wall, paint lime. And he put that in the water, and he gave it a good mix. And it became very white, like, you know, you put the lime. He made a special mix. Then he had the milk from the cows. So he went in, the man was saying, why the milk isn't good enough? This has started complaining. He said, sir, look at this. This is your milk from your cows. This is our pure milk. But you have to understand, this is a milk from my house. This is a cow man's milk.
Here's another scenario. Here's a whole bunch of temples. And the temples all have got their Namhatta groups, which are satellites to each temple. Like here's, you see, Auckland, Wellington, and Westchester. But the GBC accepted that there may be, maybe the sin is not so big to need it, but in some places we have areas that the temple is just outside of their range of being able to preach at. If that happens, the GBC can make a devotee be a Namhat director. He can create his own unit to preach in all the areas that the temples don't cover. So you don't have that situation like the lady says, like, there's no Krishna consciousness in your area. And whoever, if they cultivate all the people that are congregationally active outside the temple purviews. But that's a new thing that GBC accepted this year, that you can have an Amhat directorate, and every temple is supposed to be allotted its area for congregational preaching. But like within New Zealand, it should be divided up. Which temple is responsible for which areas? And that'll be the area that the temple should try to develop. And if the temple says, well, I just can't develop outside my city, and there's no one to do it, then the GBC, in the consultation of the temples, we can make one devotee responsible that just concentrates on Namhat all over the other places. So, these are some practical points up to now. Anybody has any comments or questions? Anything you'd like to add at this?
In a situation where someone is close enough to the temple to come to the Sunday programs, but not the Maharati, you're saying that would be a possible area for having an Alpaca. Would that possibly minimize the person's association with the devotees and with the deities, for example?
Okay. Now, like in Lima, Peru, they have three temples in the one city. But, you know, cities are... Ashton. that in a big city, like that's a city of 6 million people. And just to go in the city, to go on one side the other takes an hour. Like in Bombay, to get out to our temple from downtown takes an hour and a half. Even in one city, it's quite distant. So what they've done is they've organized, these are more like satellite namhats. So one preacher from the temple, he goes, he does the program Monday through Friday under five different groups in their local neighborhood. And then every Sunday, they all come together to the temple. So it doesn't reduce, because they never have come to the temple. The temple actually is quite far from where they're living. It wouldn't have been possible. And in Lima, Peru, everyone doesn't have their own car that they could just drive. They would all be taking buses and things to go and come for an hour in the bus and get to work. It's not possible for them. So they get to have a local get-together, which also brings in a lot of new people. And then the more fixed-up people, they do go to the temple on Sunday. So it's programmed like that. That local namhats should meet the same time when the temple's having its program, because you want them to get that association. That's the dham. That will build up their faith more. You want them to get together for their own satsanga, for their own association with devotees. And you want them to come to the temple because the dham is a special atmosphere.
Maharaj, I think as what you were saying, in the South London area, which is perhaps 80% of the non-Indians.
In the Namhat group.
In the Namhat congregation. We're not putting that for success here. I would say that our Zara, we've got maybe 600 families on our list that we're trying to cultivate here. But 98% of it, we don't have any ideas or programs that actually trying to increase the number of
Europeans. So you gotta get contacts and you gotta sift the names and cultivate them through letters, through the I mean, the biggest number of names you get is through Sankirtan. But then to get to sift those and then follow up on them and then from those get the good ones. Then to follow up on those. That's the program. It requires, you need a department. You need someone to be doing a department, or at least someone doing this. Following that, it's very closely related with the fundraising, but the difference is fundraising, you're basically tracing your donations. Where in the broad congregational development, donations aren't the only response, because if someone, I mean, there's so many devotees that they never maybe gave a donation before they became a devotee because of just financially they were not in that kind of position or whatever. But in getting people to be devotees of the congregation, we look for various types of responses, of which donations is one of them. But it's not the only one that we are focusing on. So obviously when you're doing a mail out to get funds, then you're going to concentrate on your donors specifically. But if you're trying to raise more active devotees, and devotees themselves can raise funds. Maybe he doesn't give a donation, but he may raise funds. We find that some of the smaller donors in some of the temples, they are very more active in fundraising. They give up to their capacity, but they know many people, and then they introduce those people to Krishna consciousness. So sometimes a person's value is much more than what it shows up on the donor amount that he's giving, because he's actually, I don't know how to integrate both, but we're trying to cover the broader sphere. We want people to start to become dedicated devotees, and then those are the kind of people who will either at some point in their life, they'll surrender. They'll be very active in preaching Krishna consciousness themselves. So our Indians are our natural allies. Of course, if we have an Indian community, that's a very solid base. But we don't want to expand it beyond the Indian community also.
I think we need some ideas of how to develop this European community as well. We're not getting Sankirtan names from non-Indian people. Even from Sankirtan, it's usually the Indian contacts. and certainly from Buddhists and Vedas, visitors, best forces, Indian names all the time. So we need ideas of where we can go to meet and develop more in the community.
Previously we had a Gopal's restaurant. We had a Sunday evening program, which would be
what? Also the Padyatra was an event which got a lot of names from Indian people as well, but it's just never accepted in the name.
You know, Indian people are very good members of the congregation, and then usually that to their ability, though, you know, it's very high chance that they'll also be donors to some degree, you know. But they're also very much family connected. So there's a in the West, it's maybe, I don't know the percentage, but you'll find they'll be active in the congregation, but they may not necessarily join the community so easily. Because they have so many, they're more well situated in their family. Where you say the Western people are not always very peaceful in their family, or they tend to be, you know, more able to cut off on that basis. But I don't have the statistics on it, it just seems to be. Now, we asked some of the preachers in the West, and I'm specifically speaking about Western preachers, like for instance, again, Satchinandan Maharaj. He wanted to sum it up like in Germany. First thing he said, it's not heaven on earth. It's a struggle. It's a constant struggle. He said he had to be prepared to struggle to expand Krishna consciousness. And preaching is always a challenge for the preacher. You know, sometimes just like you're lying in the corner exhausted after so much preaching. So he wanted to let everyone know that on the one hand, they should know that it's not easy. There's some effort had to be put into it. But he also wanted to tell you that he asked me to tell the people that what were the progress that they were able to achieve. So they have one problem, that they have made many Namhattas in Germany, but they find that the Namhatta groups are not remaining Namhatta groups. They're transforming into ISKCON temples. So this is a really big problem for his congregational preaching programs. All his congregational groups turn into temples. But somehow he's able to overcome this obstacle and he's still going on. And of course, I'm a little facetious, but it's true. The Germans are so, you know, German that when they take something up, they really take it up. So when they start a Namhat, they usually all get all fired up and they all rent a flats in the same apartment building, and they start having a mangal arti and classes before they go to work, and pretty soon they decide, let's just buy the building and make it a temple. And that has happened in certain places. In fact, one Namhat devotee is a multimillionaire. He donated a temple in Cologne, just gave the whole temple to ISKCON. There's another dynamic Namhat centers that they have in Kiel. These are all musicians. They're all famous musicians, in fact, of their particular music style. So they have a very good contact with the youth. And so the whole Namhat is all these musicians that get together, and then they do, you know, their musical festivals and things. They always speak about Krishna consciousness. So they also distribute 300 books or something a month to their friends and contacts. So he was saying that actually they're having a lot of good success. Now, Germany only had a few temples 5 years ago. Now they have something like 11 or 12 temples. And most of it has come from the Namhats gradually growing into temples. So it's a very organic way. Instead of just going somewhere, some, you know, devotees, let me go and start a preaching center. And he's struggling there, and please send me a couple of devotees, and he's trying to rent his place. And it's much more organic if you already have a number of people interested in Krishna consciousness. They're getting together, they're having their regular programs, and preachers go and visit there and cultivate them, and then you got a whole, even if you want to send a full-time preacher there, you already have a base. Or if one of them wants to, you know, gets tired of working or something, he wants to just become a you know, full-time career preacher, then this also very organically develops. So another example was given is like how they teach these porpoises to jump. You know how they use whales and porpoises? They jump 12 feet in the air through these hoops. So, you know, that's like amazing. How do they do it? So apparently the secret is first they have them go through the hoop underwater. Just to get them to go through the hoop, hold the fish on the other side or something, get them to go through. Then eventually they get habituated to going through the hoop. Then they start lifting it up a little bit, half in the water, half out, and they go through it. Then they lift it a little right over the water, and then another 1 foot. And it's not like all at once they jump 12 feet in the air and go through a hoop. But over a period of months and years of gradual practice and training, they're gradually able to jump through this high hoop. So somehow some devotees are able to surrender very easily, but the vast majority of people, when they hear our regular principles and they see our lifestyle, you know, even the Indian community, they have so much respect. I mean, the Indian community has a lot of respect for the devotees, for all their austerities, and the general people, they can't even figure it out. So it's very difficult for them to visualize themselves, you know, jumping this hoop 12 feet in the air. It's like something like that for them. But that's why we had this gradual program of elevation, so that we can make it easy steps, more easy steps for them to rise up on. So that's the whole idea, to make it, you know, and this is not a complete list, as I mentioned. The first thing is to just get them to be a subscriber or a member. And then where it says Namhat member here, that's Sradhavan or Satsangi, where they start to have faith in Krishna consciousness, they start to chant around the day. It's a big step. So they're actually taking Krishna consciousness as their religion. And they're starting to chant and japa every day. And like this, step by step, you take them up. So it's the next hoop that they can, the next level of the hoop that they can visualize. You could chant 10 minutes a day. You can ask people, and usually if they're a little serious, they're coming, they're already subscribers and members of your programs. To get them to chant one round a day is not that difficult. And then once, you know, when they're vegetarian and you see they're not like drug addicts or something, you can get them to be a little more serious, a little clean up their situation, then you can get them to go four rounds, like this, gradually get them to increase. You don't want people to feel second class. You want them to feel like Lord Chaitanya, when he was asked, who is a devotee? He said, if anybody chants Hare Krishna once, he's a devotee. He said, who should you respect? He said, you should respect all devotees. But the neophyte devotees who are not following all the rules and regulations, you should respect them in your heart. You know, like just treat them nicely. And those who are initiated and who are following the principles, you bow down to them and call them Prabhu. And then those who are, of course, like spiritual masters or who are, you know, preachers that are able to eradicate the doubts of people who are very senior preachers, then they should be respected in a higher level. But everyone, Lord Chaitanya was requesting everyone should be respected. And sometimes in ISKCON, you know, in the past we've had that idea that, well, if you're in the temple, you're a devotee, and if you're outside, you know, then it's like you're a demon or something. But now we're seeing that that attitude doesn't bring good dividends. And actually the people outside, a lot of them are nice devotees. They're our friends. They chant, they believe in Krishna consciousness, but we just haven't cultivated them. So now we want the devotees to go a little higher level. They're brahmanas. They're Brahmana Vaishnavas who are taking responsibility for delivering the society, and that's their career, that's their occupation, or that's their whole, you know, swadharma, that they're engaging in this Sankirtan movement. And there are other members who are still working in the workforce and they're not that able to give all that much time. There are different levels of spirituality. We're trying to lift them up higher and higher, cultivate them, bring them up to the surrendered state. So the biggest thing for these, we want the people to feel respected, have them feel that they belong to ISKCON. And we shouldn't feel intimidated by that. that somehow, because the devotees who are, know the philosophy, know that if you want to get back to Godhead, if you want to get love of Krishna, we have to be fully focused. So the fact that there are other people that we're respecting as different types of devotees and different, that doesn't reduce our own commitment to Krishna consciousness. We know that unless you come up to a certain level, you may not get back to Krishna in one life. That doesn't mean other people who are devotees, it may take them a few lives even to get back to Krishna. Or maybe later in this life they'll surrender. But we don't want to discourage them. That would be violence on them. We want to encourage them as much as we can in their devotional service. And we know that this was a quality that Srila Prabhupada had. He would fan the spark, a little bit of spark of Krishna consciousness, and he would fan that. So we're very grateful to Sridhar Maharaj and Naveen Krishna. They've shown how the congregation is of national importance. This particular statistic is from 1992. The 1991, the 1993 survey, I don't have it ready yet. The secretary didn't pack it. But this bottom, this, do the question 29, that's good enough. I asked the temples around the world, what is the financial importance of the congregation? And the bottom line is global. And the upper one is just North America. I made a presentation in North America last year. So 15% of the temples around the world said it was a mainstay. The congregational support was a mainstay of their temple. The major help was almost 25%. That combination comes about, what, 40%. And helpful was 40%. Only 20%, or what, 25%, said it was of minimal help. So 75% it was either helpful, major help, or mainstay. So in the future, we want to be able to have our preachers actually be able to preach and not have to do so much fundraising, you know, like collection, just for selling unrelated paraphernalia. You're all like PhDs or master degree holders in spiritual, in Krishna consciousness. You can preach to so many people, but so much effort has to go in just maintaining financially, selling things and so on. So if the temples can be supported by a congregation, then the preachers will be needed to preach to that congregation and to keep them Krishna conscious, to keep them alive and to cultivate them and have them, you know, move up the involvement ladder. So that reciprocation, they need that reciprocation. And as the congregation grows, they start to look at the devotees living in the community. And they read the books and they say, hey, wait a minute, it says here everybody's supposed to go to Mangalarti. I went to Mangalarti one time, but I didn't see a lot of these devotees. Tend to, like, sometimes congregational members are more critical or more, like, observant, you know, because they're new, they observe everything. So they start seeing, well, why does he do this, why does that? So what happens is that the devotees actually had to be, it's like for your children, you want to be a good example for your congregation, you have to be a very good example. Because they watch what they're doing, what all their priests in the temple are doing. You're all the reverends. You know, it's one thing when you're just like a kind of little group and it's only devotees, and then it's different when you've got 600 or 1,000 or several thousand people who are looking up to you as their priests. And then they're watching what you're doing and how you're speaking. And then, so they don't want to see, they have to see the priest out in the street selling t-shirts. They would like the priest, you know, not to be doing that. In the future you'll see as their congregations develop, they'll want to support more and more the temples so that the preachers can go to their homes and service them, their spiritual needs. So, Srila Prabhupada has talked about Krishna consciousness in the home. One thing, he said the best process for making the home pleasant, does this come up here? No, I don't want to, both sides. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Accept the remnants of foodstuff offered to Krishna. have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. So these four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounce life. And Prabhupada talks about for household devotees how they can do the path of deity worship, establish deity worship in their homes, and have the, make it. He wrote in 74 to one Dr. Hugo, Mr. My dear Hugo Salimon, accept my blessings. So far your worship of Lord Jagannath in your home and you're becoming initiated, it is all right, provided you have the recommendation of the temple president. So Prabhupada also proved that people could be initiated for living in their house. Of course, it is not that anyone is excluded from being my disciple if they do not 100% attend all of the temple programs, but they should be encouraged to attend as far as possible. Living outside and working are not prohibited, and it is not recommended that such strict rule as no outside living should be enforced. But living in association of devotees is better. From our side, there's never any objection if it is inconvenient for temple living. We know it's better living with association of devotees. That's why we're all living together. But for some people, they're also they're not able to. Or we're not even able to provide them that facility. It goes both ways. So any other questions or comments?
About 10 years ago, I was working with another devotee in Australia, coping up the chart.
Are you speaking? You should put the thing there.
We started a program with trying to sell sets of Prabhupada's books, and we found that people who sent in letters to the BBT, which are $5 or more, 50% of those people, when we visited them in their homes, bought sets of books. Just, in keeping with what you're with Jai Satchananda Maharaj found in Europe. And then our next best leads were the people who came to the temple for the Sunday feast. And then we found, what was the next group? The next group was...
people gave response cards at festivals.
We found with the response cards at festivals, we sold maybe one set out of 50 or 100 response cards. That wasn't very good at all. It was like out of 100 cards that came in, just of a quick response thing, just rip it out of the back of the book and fill it in. Maybe 1 in 100, maybe a bit better than that, 1 in 50, would buy a set of books and visit it. It was a long shot. And then people we met on the street, 19 out of 20 were lies. When we were canvassing on the street, we'd meet people and we'd get their names and address. And then when we'd follow them up, it was just traffic always, a false phone number or a false address. So that's just, that was 10 years ago, that was our findings.
And so sometimes Sankirtan devotees think, wow, this is really, really potential devotee, nice person, But then when the congregation of people, when they follow up on it, they find out that a lot of times it's like, doesn't work out. That's why they thought if the book distributors themselves write letters, or even have a form letter they can send out with a little personalized a little bit, then they would start to know, they'd start to realize, and become more expert at telling who's actually a good lead. Because they're the one that met the person, and they don't know what the person, whether it gives a response or doesn't. So they have a way of following up and then knowing what the response is. They would become more experienced in evaluating who really is a good lead or not. Because they don't know, they just meet a person, seems real nice, they get the name, they turn it in, and then, what are you going to do with that address? How do you know? Of course, that's what Satchinanda Maharaj said, that you should, send out a mail, somehow follow that name up quick before the person forgets his impression with the Sankirtan devotee. And then you can, if you get a response, then it'll be a sifted name. It'll be a good name. Just a raw name. It may not...
That's right. I have to qualify this thing. These people were meeting on the street. We were telling them that we had a set of books that we'd like to show them when we came to their home. And so, they knew that we were coming to show them a set of books. And
oh, they weren't like just Sankirtan leads.
No, these were people who were stopping on the street and maybe gave them a magazine and showed them that we had this.
Well, that's a slightly different thing.
Sorry. Yeah, it's just a little bit different, but still a little.
Usually the Sankirtan devotees, when they, in many temples, are given special cards which are match up with their database. Mm. And so when they meet a really good person, they get the name and address and everything, fill out the card. And then those are the names that are turned in. But then even those names are not always as good as they seem on the street. Or maybe the other people, when they follow up, it doesn't have the same effect. But whatever, it doesn't. We need to perfect those names. Because our Sankirtan devotees meet millions and millions of people every year. So there's a lot of important contacts, but how to actually sift from those contacts and get the good ones and follow up and cultivate. So that's interesting point you said.
Yeah, Harinamananda, the Guru, gives us, and what do you do for congregational preaching? You take names. And his principle is that if they'd already read a book and are favorable, then you take their name, because it's more likely that they make an understanding, or it's more likely to follow through if you've already read a book. And if you meet someone, they may seem interested, but you never know what can happen after that. That's just one way that, because you can get so many names in a day from people that appear favorable, but then it can just be overwhelming, the number of people that you've got.
Right, that was the point, that if you get too many names, then there's too much to deal with. So how to, from there, how to sift out and get the good ones, the golden ones, the ones that are worth investing the extra time in. What happened to that? Did you print that? That the doc never came out.
Very inspiring, Maharaj, to hear again the need actually for the cultivation of congregation, whether it be through donations, but through the Maharaj's dedication to the donors. On all levels, it becomes very clear that this is one of the major, if not the major, way to help at every level, to run temples and congregations and help to spread the holy name.
Any realizations anyone got? What do you think about the importance of congregational development in relation to our spreading of Krishna consciousness? Do you think it has something part to play?
I was just thinking, I wish we would have started doing this seriously 10, 15, 20 years ago. Because I really think we'd have no problems at this point. If the customer is satisfied, then everything else is going to be there. If the customer is satisfied, Lakshmi is going to be there. Probably the most separate endeavor you can. People can make donations and things like that.
Just laughing, if I may share my laugh with everybody. I mean, we're an interesting group in a certain way, because prior to in our heyday, when we had lots of money coming in and so on, we were too busy to worry about the congregation. And now we've kind of lost all the opulence, and everyone's scratching to work out how to keep the temple alive, and now we're kind of too busy trying to do that to really get into the congregational preaching. So
that's why, at least if in some ways, just even having a dedicated congregational member himself go out and do the preaching, or having a basic, even if one person just starts to take some interest in it and then encourage the congregational members. A lot of times they themselves are some of the best preachers for this field. Even sometimes they just need a little go-ahead, a little encouragement. The temple president of Denver, Anuttama Prabhu, he mentioned how they were trying to get people to sponsor their Sunday feast program, but they only had about 5 sponsors or something. And one new person moved into town and came there, and then he saw that there weren't so many sponsors. He said, "Could I do a program to try to enroll people to sponsor the Sunday feast?" And he said, "Yes." So at that time it was like $200. So could we make it 100? Because it'd be easier to get people to sponsor 100. And so we can make it 108. So then that congregational member, after a week, called back, said he went to the phone book and just started calling up Indians. He was an Indian. And he'd already got, that time was like January 1st, he'd already got up to March booked. And he wanted, to get some more names, to call. Well, first he got the temple names. And then he ran out of those. And he said the whole year, 52 weeks, that's $5,000 plus dollars, is all booked for already. just by, in about 2-3 weeks, the one congregational member getting a little fired up, and now he said now he wants to start make Varsha Sevak, Varsha Puja, where they pay $1 a day for the temple worship, to maintain the temple puja. And so now that person's fired up to sign up people like that. That's what they're doing in Bangalore. They're concentrating all the big donors for the temple construction. And then they started the Sudama Seva. Do you want to explain about that? What Sudama Seva is? Come on this side of the camera now.
Probably some of you have heard of a big temple complex which we are building in Bangalore. And of course a lot of money has to come from the donors. So we have among life members one type of, one scheme called Pandava Seva. Just like Pandavas did service in a big opulent way to Krishna. And then we also wanted to have common people to involve them also. So we had another category called Sudama Seva. For this Sudama Seva, they give a pledge to give 1 rupee per day for the next 5 years. They come and pay every month like that, so it comes to around 30 rupees per month. And we have a system of reminding them after 25 days they get a postcard which says you have to come and pay so and so. And every day we get by mail about 20 checks of 30 rupees. And we have so many people coming to the temple and saying, oh, my last day is getting over, please take this money, please renew my Sudam Seva, like that. And right now, on a Janmashtami evening, we enrolled, this Sudam Seva was inaugurated by the former Chief Minister of Karnataka. And on the Janmashtami evening, we enrolled about 800 Sudam Sevas, and one evening. And then in the next few months or so, right now I think we have around 2,000 Sudam Sevas. And it is also growing, and we are also planning to have some, put in some special efforts to increase the number of Sudam Sevas. Actually, one of the ideas we have was, we have many life member teams, about 8 teams of life members, are, preachers are there, because we need to generate a lot of money. So we were planning to leave one team to go and increase the number of Sudam Sevas. Actually, we considered that if a life member becomes a Sudam Seva, it is a failure, because a life member should become a Pandava Seva. But then we wanted every life member to make all his employees a Sudam Seva. So like that, getting as many people.
730,000. If you put that like in New Zealand dollars.
Divide by 15. What is that worth, 15?
I would say you have 2,000 like that here.
$50,000.
Could you use 730,000 New Zealand dollars a year here? Would help out?
Solid
day.
Even divide that by 10, even if it's like 200 people, giving a dollar a day, it's still
73,000 would help. So, Sudama Seva and Pandava Seva. So it just needs that something has to, you know, you have to take, you have to, as I said, there's always so many constraints. And this is a long-term program. And 10 years from now, you're going to say, why didn't we do it 10 years ago? So obviously it's not the kind of thing you can drop everything and just do it because you have your regular cash flow problem, but it's the type of thing you had to start doing. You know, whether part-time or somebody full-time or several people part-time. Something has to start. Other, it's important because for overall preaching, for the centennial coming up, for book distribution, for making devotees. And my upper, most of our devotees come from the Namhat in Germany. And then ultimately we want people to accept ISKCON, not as a cult or some kind of small religious group, but as a the religion, as a way of spiritual development, which is acceptable in society, that will help us to make more devotees if it public as a good image. So this is possible the broader we have a congregation. So they went out to print this quotation. I don't know if they could come back. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave a very dynamic prediction about Namhat, how this would be the most important form of preaching in the future. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he gave his disciples like a final order before he left. And then he also gave that instruction to develop Mayapur, do Navadip Parikrama. Then he also said, publish books, distribute the books, and establish Namhat. So because you distribute books, you want to, next step is to have the people that read the books become devotees. So it kind of goes, one hand you distribute the book, and the next thing you want to do is you want them to be members of the congregation. So I thank you very much for your attention, you know, also your inputs. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.